Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much, and please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more secure. And can all do us a huge favor. So please forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know that can benefit from a particular show. Now, Answers for the Family will continue to address a variety of issues, such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. And we'll introduce you to talented authors and new innovations in the areas of health, security, and fun for you and your family. Now, our topic today is the S-Word Project, getting teens around the world to talk about sex and get engaged in solutions. Now, the statistics on teens and sexual behavior are pretty alarming. American teens between the ages of 14 and 19 are sexually active 48.6% of the time. And of that group, nearly a quarter have had more than one partner. Now, many of these young people engage in high-risk sexual behaviors, 43% of which admit to not using a condom. And obviously, this can result in unintended health outcomes. So to talk about this and more, our guest today, Aaron Thompson, founded the S-Word Project. It's a nonprofit organization that creates safe spaces for teens to talk about sex and relationships. The project promotes healthy relationships, real love, and strong families. Now, Aaron and her team in Chicago and Los Angeles provide comprehensive sex education and teach critical thinking, communication, and job skills for young people. Aaron mentors young people and coaches adults on how to get things done in a very impactful way. She is currently the Special Projects Manager and Board Liaison for the Inner City Law Center in Skid Row within Los Angeles, where she's responsible for Homeful.LA, a website her team created to connect the people of Los Angeles with opportunities to advocate, donate, and volunteer towards ending homelessness. Now, in addition to relational health, Erin knows physical health is critical to winning at life, and she uses her social media platform on Instagram, which is at ereal4real, to engage followers and friends to take good care of themselves and each other through hashtags, one of which is getitincheckin and hashtag hotboxchronicles. Now, for anybody out there, if you're driving and you can't write these things down, if you go to our website, answersforthefamily.com, we'll make sure that all of this is there. Aaron, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Alan, thanks so much for having me and the S-Word Project. We're really honored to be on your show today.
Well, it is definitely my pleasure. And, you're touching on two subjects that are near and dear to my heart, and that is working with at-risk teens and homelessness. So, I'm just happy that you're there doing what you're doing. And now this is a great opportunity for us to tell our listeners what you're doing and why. So let's start with what motivated you to start the S-Word Project.
Well, it all happened around 2014. I was mentoring some teens at the time, and one of them called me and told me that they had sex for the first time. And I was placed into a situation that I didn't think that I would ever be in, where I had to coach this young person on what had just happened. And I proceeded with a series of questions, including is this something that you wanted to happen? Where did it happen? Do you think that you might have an STD or be pregnant now? We had to really go through a series of questions in order to really find out what happened. And then I offered to take her to talk to her parents if she wanted me to. And I was like, if you don't want them to kill you, then I'll go with you. And that's what we did. And so we went and talked to her parents together and, you know, came up with a plan, got her to a doctor's office. And that was the beginning of it. After that, she started telling her friends about me. And so they would call, or when we would get together, they would just pose these really, you know, piercing questions because they thought that I could handle it. And then one time I told them my story, which was that when I was at the age of 17, I had an abortion and went through that alone. And I think once I really opened up and shared what I had been through, the walls just came tumbling down and the questions just came pouring in and the teens just started popping up from everywhere wanting, you know, in on the conversation because some, you know, they're, like you said, you ran off the statistics. They're fully engaged in sexual activity, but unfortunately with very little guidance. So the S-Word Project is a fulfillment of their request for us to do something.
I think the first part that's so beautiful about that is that even before you had gone into your story, there was still somebody that felt comfortable enough to talk about that. And I think that's one of our biggest problems is we have kids out there that have this ability through social media and everything else to have, you know, they think they've got 5,000 friends and they think that they can communicate all of these things. But when it comes to something like this, they don't think they have anybody to talk to. So the fact that they could go to you, I think, was huge.
Yeah, and I was happy to be that for them. I know that my parents are saints, and they really have set me up to win. And they always encouraged mentorship, and they always encouraged sharing and, you know, just going to somebody. So I know that that was important, so I was happy to be able to be there for them. And it's been a great ride. But you would be surprised how many adults, too, don't have an outlet or, you know, are fronting or, you know, doing all the Instagram and flossing and modeling and just, you know, portraying these happy relationships, or really they're broken and really don't have a safe place or the you know, opportunity. You don't even think that there's a place out there where they can reach out and really get, you know, really share and be in community.
You know, one of the things that that I loved to read when I was looking into, you know, to the S Word Project was that you're tying in talking about sex and relationship, you know, with these teens, you're tying it into winning in life. And I think they see that as, I'm not being lectured at, I'm being told how as I allow myself to talk about this, how I'm going to be a better person and excel in life. So talk a little bit about that as to how you merge those two things together, because, I mean, it certainly sounds like it's the way to go.
Well, with the S-Word Project, we have, like, certain guidelines for participation. And one of them is that, you know, we neither encourage or discourage sexual activity. We couldn't if we wanted to. You know, there's nothing you can say to keep anybody else from doing what they want to do anyway. But by presenting, like, real-life stories and, you know, data and resources and information, they can, on their own, create this positive and powerful relationship to their own sexuality. And what we're really trying to do is just get them to a point where they realize that they can choose. You can mm-hmm. really, you really, they really do have the power to create their lives the way they really want it to be. And sometimes they're, I don't know what happens in our past or in our childhood. We're kids one minute, and then all of a sudden we have all this responsibility, you know? And then we're like, oh, I don't know what to choose or can I choose? And so our message to them is like, yeah, you can. You can take that power back and you can make the best choices for you, for your family, and it ultimately impacts the community. Because if you come from a home where you are loved, or if you have the tools to heal from, you know, traumatic experiences and things like that, then your likelihood of having a better quality of life goes up. It just skyrockets.
I couldn't agree more. Now, talk a little bit about some of the kids that you're working with. What is the age range for the most part?
Well, we meet with teens for the most part. So if you have a teen at the end of your name, I mean, as your age, then you're our primary target market. Boys and girls. Some people make the assumption that it's just for women because I'm a woman, but, you know, it takes two to tango, and usually mm-hmm. there's a guy involved. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. And then, so we have, there are boys and girls, ages 14 and 19. Right. Yes.
So for some of the parents that are out there listening, or for some of them that are going to listen to this later on this evening with their teens, what are some of the messages that you would want to give them?
That you're okay. You know, like, no matter what's happened, no matter what has happened in the past, and no matter what choices that you've made or desires that you have or curiosities you have, you're okay. Like, that's the baseline, is that we're all figuring this out as we go. And a lot of times people get caught in the past and are not able to really, you know, really accept themselves and love themselves. So we do, we have a huge platform. We spend a lot of time talking about self-esteem and self-love and acceptance, because I think that's really the key to love, right?
Absolutely.
Accepting yourself. I mean, I'm a church girl. We're not a religious organization. So we don't encourage anybody else to be any religion that they're not, but I'm a Christian. So one thing, and I know that our spirituality impacts, you know, our sex lives sometimes. So we just encourage them to know that they're okay, and then also listen to each other, you know, and from a really unconditionally loving and tolerant place too. Because, you know, just like you want that love, you have to love your neighbor as yourself, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's one of the greatest commandments. So you got to love yourself, lots of self-love, and then we teach you how to love your neighbor as yourself too.
Now, how involved do the parents get? So I assume now you have a situation to where you have, you know, a group of teens, and you're giving them a safe place to be able to talk about things. At what point are the parents brought into it so that they understand that they have a job to do too, so that once they leave this safe place, that they're provided that same situation once they get home?
Well, we definitely have to get permission first. Mm-hmm. So sure. There's usually a permission slip and an overview of the curriculum that goes home with the parents, and then they sign off in order for us to be able to talk to their teens. Or through an existing organization, like, we get permission through after-school programs and schools, and people can choose to opt out if they want to. But the parents, we are developing a guide for them. That'll be published probably by the end of this year. So as to, like, set up that safe space. My goal is not to be running all around the world, just me, like, doing this on my own. We purposely have that tagline, creating safe spaces for teens to talk about sex and relationships. It's intentional because we want parents to be that safe space, and anybody can create themselves to be a safe space. So we give you, like, some baselines and guidelines for achieving that. And that's how we involve the parents. And then we do a hike in the spring and the fall, like once a month. We go pick a hike, and you can bring your kid or your teen can bring your parents. And then we give you guidelines to open up the lines of communication and talk to each other.
See, that's beautiful. You mentioned a little bit in regards to the school where, you know, you're tying in with after-school programs. I love that. What more do you need, or what more can people out there do to help make that happen?
Well, I am here. That's why I'm here, Alan. This is why I accepted your invitations, because I know I can't do it by myself. I need help. We need help. It takes a village to raise a child. It really takes a lot of us to really get teens in order as well. But if you are out there and you're listening to this and this resonates with you, then you can reach out to me and we can talk about me either presenting curriculum for to supplement your sex education and health classes. So we can come at it from that perspective, as a science, through science, because ultimately we are sexual beings.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's how we all got here, and it's so weird that we don't talk about it. but that's the way to do it, is to just reach out to me if you know, are into it, but you don't have time. We accept donations, monetary donations. And if you are a professional and you want to get in front of the teens yourself, then, you know, we need people like that too. So I'm always looking for board members and anybody that'll beat the drum for comprehensive sex education, also relational and mental health.
Now, I would love to see it to where it's the schools set it up, and it's just it's just another class. In
automatic.
Other words, it's automatic.
Yeah.
This is a class that you go to, and yes, you know, if there are parents that want to opt out or something like that, that would be fine. But I think it's a lot easier when you have it to where it's something that is part of the curriculum, and they can choose to opt out, as opposed to it's not part of the curriculum and they have to opt in.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
It makes it easier for the parents, too, if it's just readily available, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, and I know that we have a lot of teachers that listen, many of which they send in questions and such as to how things work for their school. What could teachers do? Do they go to the board? You know, if there's a teacher out there that says, this is exactly what my class needs, what do they do?
Well, there's usually a couple of, I used to work at the Board of Education of Chicago. Back in the day, I was the deputy assistant to the deputy chief of staff. And, we understand that there is some bureaucracy in getting programs in school. So I think that you would approach it as a pilot program, and you would talk to whoever your school administrator is, the principal first, and then we could go from there. But there's resources online on our website, www.thesswordproject.org, O-R-G, and the word the is in it. So thesswordproject.org, and that'll give you the background and give you an idea of how we do things that you can share with your principal.
All right. And while you're writing things down out there, they also have a web series that handles part of the fundraising, and that you can go to https://web-series-seed-money.fundraise.org.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, for those of you driving out there, don't try to write this down,
no. But
know that you can.
10 and 2.
Yeah, exactly. But you can go to the S Word Project website to be able to also find that site, or again, you can go to our Answers for the Family site that you normally go to, and we'll make sure that all of this information is on there for you.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned the web series. So the web series is a new program that we're partnering with Youth Mentoring Connection here in Los Angeles, and they have equipment and they have teens, and they have a team that's really willing to create this safe space. They already do. Like, they have sessions where teens can just come talk about whatever they're dealing with. And so I partnered with them. I spoke at their last retreat, and now we're working on a web series. So not only do we, I mean, it's weird to be in a safe space and be sharing yourself and then bust up in there with a camera, right? So you can't, like, ask somebody to tell you what's really going on and then just have it, like, be recording it. So instead of doing that, we're working with the teens. We have the curriculum where they get to share. And then as they're learning about sex education, also, like, themselves and learning to love themselves, they're also creating content. And I guess you would think of it will, like, run in segments, like Sesame Street meets In Living Color or whatever. And we'll have, like, segments where they can dance or they can make up skits or whatever. And then they write it, they light it, they film it. They edit it, so they get the media training as well, and they leave our program not only with, you know, a better sense of themselves and the confidence to speak up when it comes to sex, they also get to have some new skills.
I love it, and I love the tagline. So for anybody that didn't catch that, Sesame Street meets In Living Color.
Yeah.
So
that's the vision.
I like it. Well, we have a listener question that's coming in, and this one is from a school nurse. And it says, I am a school nurse, and although sex education is taught in our school, I don't believe it is effective or going far enough to actually have an impact. We are seeing a dramatic rise in STDs, and I am sure that the numbers are actually far greater than is actually being reported. I am wondering how your program works with schools, as I would like to talk to our administrators about getting more involved without overburdening, an already stressed system.
Right. I'm so glad that, thank you for the questions, guys. Keep them coming. So sex education in schools, the underreporting, even the stats that you read off earlier, they were from this Center for Disease Control, but those are the kids that told the truth, you know.
Right.
In the thing. Like half, like there's the numbers are probably a lot more than that. And of course, the school nurse would know that. And so for her to see the statistics going up, I think in the immediate, the thing that you can do without us is really just like get the administrators together and ask them to spend time in their training preparing for that. Just let them know that that's a recurring issue. If they don't think that it's important, they won't really spend the money on it. So just like in your own, as yourself being a leader, just go and in your next staff meeting say, look, this is what's happening in our school. We need to do something about it. And if the S-Word Project can come and provide training or support or help with developing the curricula based on what you're seeing, then we're happy to do that. But definitely feel empowered to, you know, take this on yourself. And then think of it as, like, if you were them, what support would you want? And if you just, we were all young at once, and we all, I don't know if you ever had the sex talk. I always ask adults this, like, did you ever have the sex talk, or what do you wish you would have known that you don't, you know, that you know now that could have saved you a lot of trouble in doctor visits and stuff like that? And approach the conversation like that.
But that's a great point, because, you know, as you put that out there, you know, I think everybody should be asking themselves that, because I look at it and I go, I didn't get a sex talk by my parents, so whatever I was learning was what the other, you know, 13 or 14 year olds were saying.
Blind leading the blind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yes. Boy, do I know it, Alan. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and it's just like, you know, we've survived. You know what I mean? And I can look back on my life, and I know I've made some risky situations and made some poor choices. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's just like we all have that, and we need to stop acting like we got it together, because we don't.
That's a great way to put it. And now, I know earlier you mentioned a little bit in regards to your parents, but where does your passion for people stem from? I mean, it's, you obviously have a passion for people in general, not just teens. Where does that stem from? Is it them?
Definitely. Yeah. So my dad and mom are both, I guess we would call them local missionaries in Chicago. So they had to raise the money that we lived off of. So I've always been fundraising all my life. My dad was a chaplain at Cook County Jail in Chicago, which is a really big prison system. And he would go around to different churches and tell his story and raise money so that the men in the jail could receive like Christian training and things like that, and support. And he was responsible for this group called the Life Learning Dorm. They actually took one of the areas in the jail and put the guys that weren't causing trouble all together and then gave them like spiritual teachings, all kinds of spiritual teachings and job training and stuff like that. And they've graduated, like the people who have gone through that program have turned out really great, you know. So that's one, you know. So I've always had that going on. And then my mom's like Mother Teresa but black. So she's always had our house open to young people. She actually used to work at the Crisis Pregnancy Center in Chicago, so I got exposed to this issue at an early age. And just a really wonderful woman of God who's always taught me and my sister Melissa to just like realize, first of all, that we're all children of God. We're all miracles, and everybody is to be respected, and everybody deserves love. Everybody's worthy of it, you know. So I think that in my career, I've made choices based on that. Of course, I've tried to rebel against that. Initially, I went to law school like, oh, I'm just gonna be, you know, go in the private sector and just be rich. But every time I try to do that, I can't, you know, my heart just won't let me. So I have to thank Stephen and Felicia Thompson for the heart.
There you go. You know, I want to touch on something that I'm not sure if anybody caught, but when you were talking about your dad and you were talking about him taking the non-troublemakers and focusing on them. And the reason I bring it up, there was a kindergarten teacher that I was incredibly blessed to be able to be around and watch the way in which she dealt with kids.
Right.
And instead of focusing on whomever it is that is making trouble. And that's, I think we have a tendency to do that. Our attention goes to that person, the one that's either being too loud or the one that won't sit down or whatever it may be. This teacher focused on whoever it was that was the first person to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So when she said, okay, I want everybody to go over here and sit in front of Mr. Cardoza because he's going to read you a story. And then she would go, oh, my God. I caught Betty. Betty was the first person to be seated right there with her legs crossed and sitting there nice. We're so proud of her. And while, you know, Billy is off in the corner, you know,
raising heaven,
raising hell, yeah. You know, so, you know, and by doing that, so I love the fact, but I think it's one of those, it's a small thing that people don't catch, but where do you put your time? Where do you put your focus? And if you put your time and focus on those that are doing right, it's a lot easier for those that aren't doing right to go, wait a minute, if I want to get any attention, maybe I should be doing that.
Exactly.
So
positive reinforcement.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and to do that in a setting like a prison,
yeah,
that's huge.
Very, very so, much so.
So I give your dad a lot of credit for that.
You hear that, Pops?
So, So let's talk about again with the parents,
okay,
and some of the advice that you can give them. And I know I had brought it up a little bit before, but you know, so the parents are signing, you know, they're signing an authorization. The children are going in there. They're in an open space. They're in a place to where they feel safe to be able to talk about whatever's going on in their life. What advice do you give to the parents about their talking to their kids about sex or other things that they might feel uncomfortable talking about?
My motto is early and often. Like, I think it should just be a part of, you know, you're teaching your kid how to ride a bike, and you should also be teaching them their body parts and, you know, what they're called and how to tell you if somebody has been violating them, things like that. You have to open up the doors of communication early so that you can get create that safe space. And a lot of times, what I tell parents, especially dads, because usually when dads hear about this program, they freak out. They don't, especially if they have daughters. Like, there's no way I could wrap my head around her possibly doing that. Well, okay, we won't. Yeah. They're more than likely they are engaged in sexual activity, and it's a scary. It's scary because you don't want your kid to know that you don't know something. So it's, you know, you kind of take the road of just silence instead of actually creating a dialogue, and that can, you know, end up nipping you in the butt in the long run. Because, you know, if there is no open, I can go to my dad if anything's happening, or I can talk to my mom about these feelings that I'm having, then they're going to go somewhere else and talk. And most of the time it's in their peer group, and they're going to get bad information, or they're going to get half of the information. So I guess the one of the things is to just, like, you know, start early. And if your kid is 19, it's never too late to start. You know, now that you're hearing this, it's never too late to start. Reach out to them and ask them, and how are things going in your personal life, or how are things going with you sexually, or is there anything that you want to tell me that you've been afraid to? Because the one thing that parents, kids should know is that your parents are going to love you unconditionally.
Right.
Out of everybody out here, they're the ones that care about you the most. You know, like, they're feeding you, they're making sacrifices, mm-hmm. they're paying for college and universities or whatever they're doing in order to make sure there's a roof over your head. That's your best bet. You should probably go to them first, because they really are going to do the best for you in most cases, unless they're struggling themselves. So that'll be my second advice, is that, one, have the early and often, and then have that open line of communication. But also deal with your own trauma, parents. Like, we have been through things, and there are mental health professionals, there are support groups, and things that you can find in your community so that you can begin to heal. And then that'll give you cues too. Like, you'll learn from those support groups and those people who are professionals who have certain questions that you should probably ask your teen. But then the last thing is to, like, you kind of have to tell on yourself a little bit with them. And I'm not saying, you know, be super detailed and, you know, or be inappropriate. But I am saying, like, just in general, like, all I said to those kids was, like, when I was 17, I had an abortion. and this is how it impacted me. And that was it, all I had to say. I didn't have to say, like, where we were, what we were doing, anything about.
They don't need any
anything
details.
Graphic. You know, that's enough. Just mm-hmm. a little bit to let them see, oh, my mom's human, and mm-hmm. I'm human, so maybe we can, maybe, and she's been around here longer than I have. Maybe she could give me a few pointers or some tips. And then you gotta keep your cool. I think that's number four, is that you can't, like, open these lines of communication and then come down on your kids hard if they tell you something that you wish they weren't experiencing, you know? And then if they admit something to you that's hard to deal with, keep your cool, find some help, reach out to us. We'll help you and support you. Just know that there's help out there. So I think sometimes parents feel alone, and you guys don't have to either.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point, the keep your cool thing, because if you've offered a safe space, and then as soon as they use the safe space, you lose it.
There it goes.
They're not going to that safe space again. It's funny. We're going to take a break in a minute, but I was going to share a story that may add a little bit of levity to it. But a dear friend of mine and his daughter, and she's now an adult and a wonderful human being, but for her, I want to say, I think it was like a junior prom.
Yeah.
And I think she might have been, you know, a year younger than the junior prom, and the guy might have been a senior or something. He was a little bit older. And when he came to pick her up, again, my dear friend, who's also a detective, was seated at his desk. When the boy came in the front door, he just said, "Yeah, open the door, come on in." And as he came in, he had his guns spread out on the table, and he was cleaning them. He says, "So tell me again where you're taking my daughter."
Wow.
And she came downstairs. She goes, "Dad, stop it. Stop scaring these guys." So
a little bit of fear is healthy.
Yeah.
Just a little bit is healthy, though.
Yeah. So anyway, so for everybody out there, again, we are talking about the S Word Project. Mm-hmm. So stay with us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family, where we are talking to Erin Thompson, and she heads up the S Word Project, which is getting teens around the world to talk about sex and get engaged in solutions. So, Erin, let's talk a little bit about how people can get involved.
Yeah, so we have an event coming up. Everybody should put this in your calendar. We're going to, and you should stay tuned on social media in order to find out details. But we're going over to Runyon Canyon on Saturday, April 7th at 9:30 a.m., and everybody can come. So if you are dating, if you're an adult, if you're a teen, if you want to bring small children, you're welcome to do that. It's just a day for us to all get together in order to just get the conversation going. And so the hike format kind of goes like this. You kind of come in. You'll meet me at the hike. You'll sign a waiver so that we don't have to pay if the lion comes and eats you, and then we'll do an introduction. We'll go over these guidelines for participating, do an icebreaker, we'll review the hike, and then we'll all set off on our in small groups. And so you go in small groups, or if you prefer just you and your child together, or preferably parents and teens together, or mentors and teens. If you know, you guys will just go off, and you'll have a list of questions that you get to ask each other, including, like, you know, just breaking the ice, just but then talking about things about your physical health and sharing experiences about dating and things, just things to get the ball rolling. We've done this a couple times, and the people that have come out have been like, oh, that was kind of refreshing to, like, you know, to get my heart rate going and get some health, you know, and wellness in my day, but then also get some relational health in my day, which is which people don't usually get a chance to get. So you want to go to follow us on Instagram. It's at S-Word, P-R-J-C-T, S-Word Project. And then we have hashtags S-Word Project Hype 2018 if you need to look for us on any other format.
That's great. You know, one of the things that I like about that is it's a little bit, I know that Malcolm Gladwell talks about it in his book Blink, which is, if you have somebody doing something else, so yeah, they have to focus on the walking, you know, you have to focus on the nature that you're seeing, it opens you up to sometimes touch on things that might normally be something that you might feel a little more vulnerable about, but yet it can come out a lot more naturally. So if there are people out there thinking, well, if we're going to have these talks, why do we have to be out in the nature? There is actually, there's psychological data that, yes, says that this is something that is a good fit.
It is. And you'll be surprised the things that come out when you get away from your TV, you get away from your
phone,
cell phones, and out of the car on your way somewhere. If you could just get into nature, which is very, we come from nature. So if you just, mm-hmm, get into our natural habitat for a second and just enjoy and breathe in the fresh air, there's so much that can open up for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We have another listener question that has come in. This one reads, my 16-year-old announced to us last month that she was having sex with her boyfriend. She tried to be as diplomatic as possible, but my husband blew his stack and immediately set out to, quotes, fix the situation by yelling and restricting her activities. I have been unable to reason with him, as I believe we should find a less aggressive approach so that she will allow us to talk to her about getting protection and to learning more about the dangers. Right now, I am trapped in a standoff and doing the best I can to have private conversations with her. What do you suggest I do to heal this war zone we are now living in?
Well, first of all, let me just...
For the mom, yep.
I mean, both of you are doing something right. The fact that she came to you in the first place,
yeah,
is like, you should be proud that, you know, that you've established yourself, something about you has been established as a safe place for her to even come to you in the first place. So, I mean, regardless of your response or how the husband, the dad really handled it, of course he's going to be a little, you know, no guy wants to imagine his daughter being penetrated. Can I just say that?
You can say what you want.
Like, you know, I think that that's like, you know, a natural response. And I think that, mom, you may have to take leadership on this and just have conversations with her, thinking that, you know, explaining to her that this is why your dad responded this way. Because sex is to be respected. Is a big deal. Like, you might see it as you and your boyfriend getting closer, and, you know, you see all the lovey-dovey stuff part of it. But for our perspective, this is a risky activity. You can get pregnant. There are STDs. You can get your heart broken. And, mm-hmm, we haven't had this conversation before, but now is when we need to start, mm-hmm, talking about it. So that reaction comes from love. And then you can, you know, I don't know what you could do about the dad. Except for maybe have him order a guide from us so that he can learn how to chill out, which is, what was that, rule number four?
Yeah.
Keep your cool.
Yes.
Yes, you have to, he just has to do that. But I would encourage parents, especially if you're expecting children or if you're early in the game, before your kids get of age, you want to have that discussion. Like, how are we going to handle this when that comes? Because it's inevitable. And hopefully, you know, you do have that type of relationship with your kids where they will come to you. So you need to be prepared on, have a game plan with each other on who's going to handle what. And
yeah, and I think, I mean, you bring up a great point, because, you know, you have to give her credit for coming forward, because that was a very scary thing, and you want her to come forward. Coming forward and saying, I think I need to go on birth control. Well, you know, would you rather have them not? Would you rather have them not on birth control? Would you rather have them not having protection?
Yeah.
So granted, and in fact, I can't exactly understand what a father has gone through, but I know that with my bonus daughter, when she came to me, you know, but I think for her it was like 19,
right.
And said, I think I need to go on birth control, and does our insurance cover it? Well, because she was a bonus daughter, I hadn't been around her and rocked her to sleep in my arms, so I don't think I had the same feelings that a father who had raised them from a baby.
Yeah.
We get it, but at the same time, I mean, the alternatives are not anywhere close to being what you want.
Exactly, and it's evident. I mean, people complain about welfare or taxes and problems, and we have to take care of people, but that you don't want to take the responsibility or, teach kids on how to be responsible in order to minimize instances of drama. Like, that's what it's about. Like, we want ease and freedom and peace. Like, sex is wonderful under the right conditions, mm-hmm. but you have to talk about what those conditions are, and we have to share best practices with each other, and we have to, like, not giggle while we do it, or not feel embarrassed, or not mm-hmm. feel threatened while we do it, because it's just critical. That's how we all got here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sounds like you guys need to start a men's support group class also for dads.
For dads. Dad's guide to talking to your daughters about sex. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. We should do this whole segment on the web series about that.
There you go. All right. Well, and I was just glancing at the time. We have about 8 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the bottom line is that you've got a lot going on. I mean, we've touched on some of it. One of the things we haven't touched on, which is the other part that's near and dear to my heart, which is your fight against homelessness.
That's right.
So share a little bit about homeful.la.
Well, homeful.la is actually a website. It's a web address. It's homeful.la. And you put that in, and what comes up is a website that the Inner City Law Center created. Inner City Law Center is a nonprofit law firm that deals with housing and benefits issues, but they also have a policy department that is all about ending homelessness. And they were key factors behind Measures H and HHH, which the people of LA had on their ballot during the last presidential election. And what we were finding is that people would reach out to us during that time, because we were kind of popular on radio, on mm-hmm. TV, in print, and they would ask us, how can we help end homelessness? What can we do? Well, our answer at first was nothing, because we're a law firm. So unless you're a lawyer and you want to do pro bono hours, then there's nothing we could do with this. So our answer to that was to create Homeful, which connects the people of Los Angeles with ways that they can either volunteer, advocate, or donate towards ending homelessness. I spend a lot of my time in the community with all of our different partners, like Dress for Success or Worthy of Love, and at the Union Rescue Mission in Skid Row. But we're going to be throughout. We have relationships with people throughout Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So just look us up, put in your zip code, and something should pop up where you can get plugged in your community, so that you can help. Instead of just talking about it, you can be about it.
I love it.
Yeah.
So again, for everybody out there, that is homeful.la. So it's www.homeful.la. It's, again, another thing that's near and dear to my heart, so that anything that you can do, we already talked off the air that I'm going to be doing whatever it is that I can do to help.
Yeah,
it's important.
We even talked about how homelessness and sex education and what the SWO Project is up to kind of, crosses paths. I know that we did, there's a lot of people who come out to their parents that they're gay or mm-hmm. Trans or... Or pregnant, and get put out on the street,
mm-hmm.
and so it's directly connected.
Yes, yeah, and that's where it then connects to some of the things that I do, because at that point, be it a runaway or someone who has just been kicked out,
once they're homeless, there are people out there that will prey on them.
Right.
And they will exploit them.
Talk about vulnerable.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so anything that we can do first to improve the communication so that they are still in the home, you know, is great. But once they are out there, to have some resources to be able to go to is huge.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. So let's talk. I know that you have other hashtags, and I'm not the most social media savvy person, but so what are the hashtags of Getting In Check-In and Hot Box Chronicles?
Okay, so this all started because my sister, who is amazing, she works at Lululemon in Chicago and is a fitness professional, and for years I was just so lazy and I was not trying to work out at all. I was just resting on my laurels. But about 2 years ago, she was just like, Erin, you really should, you know, meet your fitness goals. And so I started working out. One of my friends was like, I'm going to do a fitness competition. I'm like, okay. My friend Stephanie, she's like, come work out with me. So we started working out, and I really started getting consistent. And I saw that, you know, just the promise, keeping my word to myself, just showing up over and over again every day or the days that I said that I will work out, really made a difference in my confidence and in me being able to, you know, fulfill on things that I've committed to, including the S Word Project and Homeful.LA. So I see, like, health in general and just taking good care of yourself. You know, self-love is love for all. If you take good care of yourself, you're going to have the energy and be able to be around to take care of other people, you know, and there's nothing more fulfilling than that.
Yeah, and yeah, from a health standpoint, again, that's why, I mean, like going on the hike and stuff like that is great. You know, there are so many things that you can do, and I'll post some things on our site as well.
But we're just a big club of people trying to keep each other accountable. So once you can follow us too, Alan, and when you work out, just post a picture. If you have, like, health stuff that you want to share to everybody, just put the hashtag #GetItInCheckIn.
Get it in, check it.
Yes, and then you look up Hot Box Chronicles. That's like my little, I guess, word of the day type thing that I post on my page at E-Real For Real.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. So for everybody out there, check those out. I will have somebody that'll teach me how to post.
We'll get some of the teens on the hike to show you.
That's it. That'll work. So, well, Erin, just thank you so much for coming on, and you're welcome anytime you'd like to come back, let me know.
Thank you.
When you have something else coming up, let us know. Let's continue to get the word out, because that's how we can all make a difference, and it's the same thing for everybody out there. If you're listening, think of a way in which you can make a difference. You know, if it's, you know, in this case, if it's coming on the show and spreading the word, but you have a social media group yourself as well, and you can put it on there and you can spread the word, and together we can make a positive difference in the lives of millions of people.
Amen. And thank you, Alan. Can I just acknowledge you for being so dope and just amazing and using your platform to really get people, strong families and strong relationships. This has been a pleasure. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And for everybody out there, please continue to listen, continue to spread the word, and be sure that you put on your calendar to tune in next Monday when Marvin Smith will be hosting the show, and our special guest will be Kate Genovese. She's the author of Hat Tricks from Heaven, The Story of an Athlete in His Own Prison of Addiction. Now, please visit our archives of past shows at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube. And if you like what you hear, leave a review. It will help us reach more people, and we will greatly appreciate it. The next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, like us, and continue to spread the word. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be back with us next week on Answers for the Family.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.